It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. We're also taking your questions online at hashtag Giants Chat. We are one day away from the NFL draft in 2012. We will be joined today by a very special guest, Rob Rang. He's a draft expert from NFL Draft Scout. And he also does some stuff for CBSSports.com and other websites as well. So we'll certainly have him on the Sports Exchange, I believe, as well. So we'll have Rob on in just a couple of minutes to talk about the NFL draft. Now, the Giants have their depth chart ready. They have their columns, their rows. It's all finalized up in that draft room that nobody's allowed into. They're getting a decent idea of the types of players and the individual players that might be available at pick number 32. Now, this is where things get interesting, because at number 32, there's obviously no way to know who's going to be available when the Giants pick that late in the first round. There could be any number of guys that are going to be off the board and on the board. Remember, last year, nobody thought Prince Amukamara would be available for the Giants to pick at number 19, but he was, and they picked the best player available. So we'll see exactly where the Giants decide to go at 32. Based on who's on the board, and as Jerry Reese likes to say, they're going to pick the best player available. Need will come into the picture depending on grades and guys that are evenly marked. But last year, Prince had a grade that was much better than any other available player on the board, so the Giants drafted Prince Amukamara, number 32 this year. That could be the case as well, in which case Need will play very little role and what the Giants do at number 32. It'll be very interesting to see. And to help us break it down and talk about it is Rob Rang, the senior NFL draft analyst for NFLDraftScout.com, the Sports Exchange, and CBSSports.com. Rob, good morning. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Rob, no problem. Thanks a lot for joining us. Let's start first with the Giants that pick at number 32. This is the same question I've asked most of the draft experts we've had on. At what position do you think the Giants are going to be able to get the best value with the 32nd overall pick in this year's draft?
I believe it's the offensive and defensive lines. Now, obviously, the New York Giants concern at offensive tackle, and there is a possibility that offensive tackle is going to happen to be the player that, you know, is the highest rated prospect on the board. You know, certainly Jonathan Martin from Stanford would make a great deal of sense. And one player I am particularly high on for the New York Giants, the physicality in which they need on the offensive line, and Tom Coughlin has always preferred on the offensive line, Ole Miss offensive tackle Bobby Massey is a player who is moving up draft boards as we approach.
All right, let's talk about the tackles first, and if that's the position you think they might get some good value, who do you think from the tackle list is going to be available when the Giants pick at 32?
Well, as I mentioned, Jonathan Martin from Stanford is a player who might be slipping a little bit as we get a little closer. I think that he would be a particularly nice fit for the Giants because of the fact that he has played his entire career at left tackle, so he has that ability and agility that you're looking for. He also has the length that you're looking for to be able to potentially move over to the right side of the offensive line. Cordy Glenn is another one who has the versatility that you're looking for. I personally don't think that he should be available at that spot, but there's a lot of people out there who think that he might be slipping down the board a little bit. The Giants, of course, masters at finding the best available player, you know, regardless of team needs. So if either one of those two players happen to be on the board, two prospects that I certainly believe should get top 20 consideration, but if either of them are available, I would anticipate that the Giants would look at both those players very strongly.
And I know very early in the draft process, some people thought Cordy Glenn might project to a guard at the NFL level and not a tackle. Do you think he's a tackle in the NFL? And if he is, can he play left or right? Or is it you think he's primarily a left or right tackle?
You know, it's interesting. Cordy Glenn, he is a four-year starter while at Georgia. His first 3 years were all inside at guard, where he was a dominant player. Frankly, I thought that he was going to come out after his junior season at left guard. He was an All-American candidate. He had a first-round grade from some NFL scouts that I had spoken to following his junior season. And then they moved him out to left tackle for his senior year, and he struggled early. I mean, big surprise, the man's 6'5", 346 pounds. He was going to struggle a little bit against some speed rushers in the SEC, and especially against Boise State in the very first game of the year. That said, he improved as the year went on. He played left tackle at the Senior Bowl and impressed me there. I scouted that in person as well. So I really believe that some clubs are going to feel that his long-term potential is at the left tackle or especially right tackle because of his size and physicality. At the same time, I know he can come into the NFL right away and be a dominant left guard or right guard prospect. So, again, the versatility that Cordy Glenn brings and the fact the four-year starter in the SEC, in my opinion, makes him one of this year's most safest of the offensive line group.
And the Giants certainly like versatility on the offensive line with David Deal, who can move inside, outside, throw Kevin Booth and can play guard and center. So that's certainly something that's going to be on their minds. How about Mike Adams, a guy out of Ohio State that I know has been a little volatile in terms of where he's going to go in this draft. Where do you see him ending up, and how do you break him down?
You know, Mike Adams is an interesting player. I think that he would make a lot of sense to the Giants because of the fact that he has the arm length that you're looking for against teams like the Eagles, who like to have that so-called wide nine defense, and as well as the Dallas Cowboys with their 3-4 scheme and having pass rushers on the outside. Mike Adams might be the most physically gifted of the senior class of tackles in this group. Now, he's not quite Matt Khalil, of course, and that's why Khalil's going to wind up being a top three, top five pick. But at the same time, he has the length, he has the footwork you're looking for. So he's an intriguing player. Of course, there are some off-field considerations with Mike Adams, and I don't just mean the idea that he was reportedly, at least, failed a test for marijuana while at the combine. Obviously, Mike Adams was among those five players suspended from Ohio State for the tattoo gate and all that kind of nonsense. I have some concerns about Mike Adams and if he's ever going to really reach his maximum potential. He certainly didn't do it while at Ohio State. So personally, I would grade the Bobby Massey, who we mentioned before, and certainly Cordy Glenn as better prospects for the Giants if they're looking at playing this guy immediately.
Do you think Kobe Fleener will be on the board for the Giants at 32? And do you think he fits in with the Giants well? Didn't do a whole lot of blocking while at Stanford. Not known for that.
No, exactly. He's not known for blocking at all. I think it's going to be interesting to see where Kobe Fleener winds up. He has certainly gained, talk among the last portion of the first round to the early portion of the second round. I had projected Kobe Fleener to the Giants on several different occasions because it does make some sense. We saw the impact that the tight ends had in the NFL just this past season with Jimmy Graham, of course, Rob Gronkowski, absolutely terrorizing the NFL, and I think the Giants would be wise to take advantage of that if a player like Kobe Fleener was presented to them. 6'5", 255 pounds. I happened to be at his pro day as well. Watched him take some passes from Andrew Luck. He has the ability to go up and get the football like no other tight end in this draft class. Has very, very good speed. Legitimate 4.5 guy. So at 6'5", 255 pounds, to have 4.5 speed, have the soft hands he absolutely would be a great weapon down the middle of the defense. So that would make some sense, but you articulated it well. He was not known for his blocking ability, and quite frankly, he was not really impressive during blocking drills during his pro day, or even coaches were pushing him around a little bit. Obviously, if he's going to be able to come in and compete at a high level in NFC East division, he's going to have to ramp up the physicality.
Do you think he has the frame and the ability to put on some more weight to become a good blocker, or is he destined to be a Dallas Clark type of player where he's going to be an H-back and not really be your traditional on-the-line tight end?
You know, Kobe Fleener's got a pretty athletic and thick muscular build already. He just has to play with a little bit more tenacity. So it's not about necessarily bulking him up. He's impressive on the hoof, so to speak. At the same time, he's just got to play with some toughness to him. I mean, he's kind of a traditional Stanford player, and he's a very intelligent guy. But he's also, I hate to say that he's soft, but at the same time, I would like to see him play with a little bit more physicality at the position. That said, knowing the way the Giants rotated their tight ends in the past, I do think that he would be able to bring a dynamic weapon down the field to what the Giants already employ.
And Giants looking to replace Brandon Jacobs, who left in free agency to the San Francisco 49ers. One guy I love to fill that role is Doug Martin out of Boise State. Is 32, you think, too early for Doug Martin for the Giants to take there, or do you think that's a possibility for them to trade down to select that bruising back out of Boise State?
Well, you know, I think that Doug Martin would be an ideal fit for the Giants at 32. Now, you know, I actually had Doug Martin among my top 28 prospects in this year's draft. So in my mind, it certainly is no reach at that spot. If there is going to be a running back who deserves to be drafted in the first round, other than Alabama's Trent Richardson, of course, it is Doug Martin. I'm based out of Seattle. I've watched a lot of Doug Martin football over the last several years. That he has been an absolute dominant player for Boise State. Of course, the quarterback, Kellen Moore, gets all of the credit, but Doug Martin was the best player on the on that entire team. Certainly on offense, he had a spectacular week of practice at the Senior Bowl as well. You know, he actually reminds me a lot of the Giants' current running back, Ahmad Bradshaw. He's a little bit shorter than you might think, you know, based on the physicality which he runs. He has the ability to run inside. He has the speed to bounce outside. He has some return experience. He has soft hands out of the backfield. He's a surprisingly physical guy in pass protection as well. I believe he can do just about everything. There are some comparisons out there to Ray Rice. I think Ahmad Bradshaw is a better projection, just based on the fact that Ray Rice is such a phenomenal player. But I do think that he would make a lot of sense for the Giants if they were going to rotate him with Ahmad Bradshaw. He is not, obviously, at 5'9 and a half, 220 pounds, going to be able to come in and replace Brandon Jacobs, a 6'4, 260-pounder.
Correct, but he does provide that physicality and the ability to run between the tackles, which a lot of guys, after you get past Trent Richardson, a lot of these guys are guys that, you know, scat backs, for lack of a better word, that want to do all their work in space.
No, I agree 100%. There's a couple other bigger, stronger backs that I would keep in mind for the middle round, just because the Giants traditionally have gone that route rather than the first round. One player I am very high on, another West Coast guy, is Utah State's Robert Turbin. 5'10 and a half, 225 pounds, has the speed. Actually, timed in the high 4.4 to low 4.5, depending on which clock you talk to, you know, from the combine. At the same time, has great power. And what I like about Turbin is he has already shown the ability to come back from injury. He was a dominant player in 2009 in the WAC. And then during 2010, he tore his ACL. Came back this past season, was absolutely spectacular. So I like that toughness to him. He is also among the draft's most physical pass blockers. And you know, whenever you have a quarterback like Eli Manning, you're going to have a running back who is going to be able to pass protect.
Giants also never shy about taking pass rushers. People were surprised when they selected Jason Pierre-Paul a couple years ago. It turned out to be maybe the steal of that entire draft. What pass rushers do you think, Rob, and Rob Rang is joining us right now on Giants.com, what pass rushers do you think are going to be available when the Giants come up at number 32? And which one do you think fits the Giants' defense as a 4-3 defensive end rather than a 3-4 outside linebacker?
You know, I'm happy you asked this question because, you know, we talked before about how the Giants have this history of being able to find these falling players that really do fit their scheme well. And I currently think that there is a chance that that North Carolina defensive end Quentin Copeland could fall right into their lap. And
wow,
that is crazy when you consider the amount of talent that Quentin Copeland has. 6'5", 280 pounds, has legitimate NFL frame, certainly came into this year's draft being highly touted as possibly the top senior prospect in the entire country. And then unfortunately throughout his senior season just didn't quite play up to the level of expectation. Now at the Senior Bowl, when all the scouts were there, he was clearly the best player on the field. I mean, it wasn't even close. But at the same time, because there are some questions about his level of commitment and how much he wants it, I do think that there is a chance that he could slip down the board. I have talked to NFL scouts who grade him as a top 10 prospect in this draft, but at the same time, because of those questions about his consistency and his motor, he could drop. The Giants had made their hay getting players exactly like this in the past. If Quentin Coples was to start to slip, I think that he would be a perfect addition to the Giants' pass rush. Obviously, you have a superstar in Jason Pierre-Paul. Obviously, you have some other talent in Kiwanuka and OCU Manure, but I don't have to tell you and your listeners that those two players are going to be reaching free agency after next season, so I would not be surprised at all to see the Giants go early for a pass rusher.
It seems like people are a little afraid that Coples might end up being another Vernon Goldstein, that a guy with all the physical ability was inconsistent in college, comes into the pros, and all of a sudden gets that big contract, and people wonder exactly how motivated he's going to be.
Well, I certainly understand that the comparisons to Golston in that, you know, a guy with a lot of talent, but at the same time doesn't play with the tenacity and just a want to that you're looking for
right
at that position. I think that if Vernon Golston would have been surrounded by a little bit greater talent and a little bit stiffer kick in the butt, so to speak, that he might have been a better player.
Okay.
Obviously, the Giants have spectacular talent on the defensive line. There might not be a better motivator in all of the NFL than Tom Coughlin. So I think that he is one of those types of coaches that simply isn't going to put up with Quentin Coples not giving him 100%, whereas some coaches, frankly, I don't think that they have enough sand in their pants, so to speak, to be able to force these guys to play up to the level of competition that they'll have. I can tell you this, when the competition was at its best, Quentin Coples raised up his play. And to me, that's very intriguing. It is a roll of the dice. There's no denying that. There are safer pass rushers in this year's draft. Andre Branch is another one I was remiss in not mentioning before as a possible 4-3 defensive end that could be available, that has explosiveness off the edge you're looking for. University of Southern California's Nick Perry is another one that also presents some ability off the edge as well as a strength to hold up at the point of attack. So he'd be intriguing as well. It's just the Quentin Coples, if you're talking about the best player available in terms of pure talent, there is no doubt that Quentin Coples anywhere after the top 20 or so absolutely would be that guy.
That would be an absolute steal. I want to touch quickly, Rob, we're joined by Rob Ryan, senior NFL draft analyst for NFLDraftScout.com. I want to talk about the two other NFC East teams. You know the Redskins are going to pick Robert Griffin III with the second overall pick. Everyone seems to think the Dallas Cowboys are targeting Mark Barron, the safety out of Alabama. Do you think that's the case, and do you think he will be on the board when the Cowboys selected number 14?
I do believe he'll be on the board. I mean, Mark Barron is a terrific football player, but at the same time, I don't see that huge need at the safety position to them. It would be a great fit for the fourth Cowboys. They obviously have some new concerns in secondary. The Abraham Elam as well, and while everybody blamed the corners, it was the safeties who were actually the bigger problem. So knowing that Jerry Jones loves SEC players, I think that it's almost as much of a lock that the Dallas Cowboys would select Mark Barron number 14 as the Washington Redskins selecting Robert Griffin III number 2.
Okay, how about the Eagles? They pick right afterwards. A lot of people think they're going to target one of those big defensive tackles. I've seen Michael Brockers in that spot a lot. I've seen Luke Kuechly in that spot a lot. Who do you see the Eagles going for at number 15?
Well, Kuechly isn't going to be available, I don't believe. I would be surprised, frankly, if he's still on the board past the Seattle Seahawks, number 12 overall.
Okay.
We talked just a moment ago about Mark Barron. If he got by the Dallas Cowboys, then the Philadelphia Eagles would certainly want to be jumping up there to get Barron. He's a very safe player and a position of concern for the Eagles, despite the fact that they have invested several picks in the defensive backfield in recent years, specifically at safety. I think that you're on the right track there with the defensive line. line. Andy Reid has focused so much attention over the years on the offensive and defensive lines. I think this is another opportunity to be able to do something like that. If LSU defensive tackle Michael Brock is still available, I mean, what a player that you could potentially build around. When you consider that the Eagles have that wide nine defensive alignment where they are so focused on rushing passer on the outside, then you have to have big men in the middle. Brockers, I believe, is a much safer player than Don Terry Poe, but those are the two defensive linemen I believe that the Eagles would be targeting at their first round.
All right, so Mark Barron to the Cowboys, possibly Brockers to the Eagles. I'm going to put you on the spot, Rob, and I know it's tough. It's the 32nd pick in the draft. Who knows who's going to be there? Who do the Giants select with their first-round pick on Thursday night?
I think Quentin Copeland is going to fall right in their lap, and they're going to take him. He's going to end up being an absolute superstar, and Giants fans are going to be dancing in the street because, again, you're going to have a dominant front four pass rush. And that, and with all due credit to Eli Manning and the rest of that club, your front four is the reason why you guys have been able to hoist the Lombardi Trophy a couple of times in the last few years.
Rob, there will be a lot of happy people in this building and around New Jersey if that happens. That would be an absolute steal. We appreciate the time. Great stuff. Fantastic. And we'll get you on next week to break down exactly what the Giants did in the draft.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Rob. Thanks a lot. That's Rob Rang, senior NFL draft analyst for NFLDraftScout.com, also CBSSports.com. He does a fantastic job. And great stuff. And, boy, I know people are saying that Copeland can drop. If he drops all the way to 32, that will make Jerry Reese and the scouting staff, I think. Again, I don't know. I don't talk to him. I don't have any inside information here. But I think that will make them extremely happy. People really considered Copeland to be the top pass rusher and defensive end in the entire draft. And really, physically, there is no better player at that position coming out. And there are some questions about his motivation, his tenacity, and things like that, intangibles. But those are things at 32 the Giants, I think, would be able to accept those type of risks to get a guy of that type of potential. And now we're joined for the rest of the show by Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Michael, how's the voice?
The voice is getting better, John. Thank you.
Okay, very good. We got about 10 minutes here. The draft is obviously tomorrow night, and we're going to see what happens with the Giants pick number 32. Obviously, we've learned that Andrew Luck's going one. Robert Griffin III is most likely going to go number two. After that, from a story I read the other day, every team between 3 and 15 is trying to trade down in this draft. They think the talent in that area is all so equal, nobody knows what to do.
Yeah, that's everything. Same thing I've heard. And when that happens, I think very few trades wind up being made because teams feel they might as well stick where they are. They're going to get a player that they have graded in that spot anyway, so there's no point in giving up a draft pick to move up or down.
Obviously, we don't know what they're talking about upstairs, Mark Rush, Jerry Reese in the draft room. We don't know who they're going to look to pick, Mike. But when you take a look at the needs on this team, where do you think, in your personal opinion, where the Giants have the greatest need? And we know it's always best player available, but where do you think need points the Giants in round number one?
Well, I just want to say this. First of all, I saw Mark Ross, our director of college scouting, at breakfast this morning, and I said, Mark, you don't have time to eat the dress tomorrow night. Get back upstairs to work. And he says, we're okay. Hayes in the barn. So apparently we're going to draft this guy named Hayes, and we've got him stashed somewhere in a barn so nowhere else can get him. So I don't know. Look at your list and find a guy named Hayes because he's in a barn for the Giants. But I find it interesting reading all the pre-draft stories, you know, on the Internet and newspapers by so-called draft experts, and they all have the Giants saying, well, they need a running back because Brandon Jacobs left. They need a wide receiver, need tight ends. Apparently everyone thinks we need help on the offensive side of the ball, yet if you look at the statistics from the 2011 season, we had the 8th-ranked offense in the NFL, the 9th-ranked scoring offense in the NFL. At the same time, we had the 27th-ranked defense.
Yeah.
And people are saying, well, they don't need defensive help. So if you ask me, I would say, you know, linebacker that we need, really, I would say probably a stud middle linebacker, if you ask me, one position that I'd like to see filled. Whether there is such a player in this draft, especially at 32, if the Giants stay there, I don't know. But even though, yes, I understand that Jake Ballard and Travis Beckham had knee surgery and that Brandon Jacobs and Mario Manningham are no longer here, but I still think we have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. We still ranked 8th in offense. I think, you know, when you finished ranked 27th in a 32-team league in defense, you ought to be looking at defensive help.
Now I'll play a little bit of devil's advocate. The one place on offense, the Giants could look to make some improvement is running the football. That's one area where they did not do a good job last year. I think they finished ranked 32nd in the league in
and last.
Yards and yards per carry.
No question.
So that's one place they could look to make some improvement. And to do that, you either look to the running back position or, and in my opinion, this is more likely at the end of the first round, you could look at offensive line to try to bolster that unit a little bit.
I think offensive line is probably a good guess for, depending on who's available or what position is available. But, you know, having said all that, I think the idea, and sometime, you know, last year, maybe we should try to get some help for Eli Manning, and then, you know, Prince Amukamara and Marvin Austin were sitting there in the first two rounds with high grades. You couldn't ignore them. And I still think, you know, this is still going to be Eli Manning's team for another 6, 7, 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get him as many weapons as possible. If you have to outscore teams to win, then that's what you do. But, I mean, if there's a player there that'll help Eli Manning, you go get him.
Now, 201-939-4513. Got about five more minutes if you want to give a quick call, talk about the NFL draft with Michael Eisen and myself. You mentioned defense and the scenario that Rob Rang, the senior NFL draft analyst, NFLDraftScout.com, just pointed out. He thinks Quentin Coppell is a guy that was once considered a top five pick this year with all his athleticism at the defensive end. He sees him tumbling through the first round, and the way he put it, the way the Giants drafted Jason Pierre-Paul and they picked the best player available, he's a guy that he thinks could fall all the way to 32. And boy, if you could ever add another ridiculous pass rusher to that defensive line, especially considering, look, I don't want to call Justin Tuck old, but he's been in the league a while. He has a lot of injury issues every year. Same thing for Osu Mignure. If you can add another legit defensive end that can rush the passer, Jerry Reese is going to do that. He understands the value of rushing the passer.
No question. After the quarterback, it's the most important position, or considered the most important position around here. You can never have too many of those guys. I don't know if he's going to fall all the way to 32.
I was surprised that he said that too, but he seemed fairly confident about it, to be honest with you.
It would surprise me if he fell to 32. But if he does, he's there. I believe the Giants would take him.
And that's the thing. We talk about who the Giants should take, and, you know, we break it down. But the Giants pick 32. Mike and I don't know who's going to be on the board at 32. As Mike brought up a few minutes ago, they drafted Prince Amukamara last year. You could look at every single mock draft anybody ever did on the internet for the 2011 draft. Nobody had Prince Amukamara going to the Giants. He just happened to be the guy with the best grade. And that could very well be the same thing that happens now. Maybe Morris Claiborne drops. Who knows? A cornerback, a safety. It could be at any position if this guy has a significantly higher grade than somebody else.
Yeah, well, the thing about Prince, as you just mentioned, his grade was so much higher than anybody else on the board. You had to take him. I mean, you just couldn't ignore it.
100% right, Mike. And now as you take a look this year at what the Giants might do in terms of, you know, you look at the grades. Let me see if I got this right. Gleaming from what I've heard from Jerry Reese and Mark Ross in their press conferences before, the way the Giants organize their board, maybe you can clarify this, maybe you can't, is they kind of have tiers where they have guys with similar grades in groups. And as guys get picked, they cross the guys off, and if there's only one guy left from Tier 1 they pick, they're going to take the guy from Tier 1 because he is the guy with the best grade. But if you get to a part where you have three or four guys in the same tier with very similar grades, that's when position and need might take more of an important role than, say, a one-point higher draft grade, for example.
Yeah, well, actually, every draftee has a little magnetic card that's up on the board. And when a player is drafted, his card comes off the board and then is put under the team that drafted him. Excuse me. So really, if a guy is left there, he's literally sitting by himself on the draft board. There's no other card around him. It's obvious he's right there. That's what happened with Prince last year. So, if there's a group of players who are graded similarly and they're up on the board, there's a discussion back and forth among the scouts, Jerry Reese, Mark Ross, and need then does come into play when there is a group like that.
And if there's a large enough group, that also makes it a possibility the Giants could potentially trade down. All right, Mike, here's a question for you, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to make a prediction. If you had to pick out one name, and again, Mike and I don't know anything. We don't know what they're talking about upstairs. It's simply our conjecture and opinion. We can't stress that enough, Mike. Who do the Giants take with the 32nd pick in the draft tomorrow night?
Well, let me look at the – you know, I haven't really studied the names that carefully, But I will go with, you know, I hate to give you a name, but I would say if everything being equal, it wouldn't surprise me if they would pick the best offensive lineman on the board, because I just think that's an area. You know, Ernie, of course, he always said the offensive line is the heart and soul of your team, and I just think that is an area where they really have to start getting some talent in there.
And, of course, you can see Mike's articles over the next few days on Giants.com detailing who the Giants are going to draft Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Mike, we appreciate it as always. Thank you very much for the time.
Okay,
today.
John.
That's Mike Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Everybody, thank you for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. It comes your way every day from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. For Mike Eisen, for Rob Rang, my name is John Schmelk. Enjoy it. Tomorrow morning is draft day. We'll be with you at 10 o'clock. I'm not sure who we're going to have on you, but we'll find some kind of draft guy to come on, break down who the Giants are going to take. And I'll give you my final prediction on who I think the Giants are going to select in the 32nd pick overall in the NFL draft. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.